Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another live episode of Live Free and Ham. I'm Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with my co-hosts.
Paul, N1OG.
And W1STJ, Todd.
Cool. All right, well, how you guys go and what's been going on? I mean, obviously, you know, battling a little technical issues there, Todd, but, you know, what's been going on with you since we last got together about 24 hours ago?
Yeah, we had a baseball game. The kids got killed.
Oh.
Like 21-1, but Zach got the RBI, so that was good.
Way to carry the team, Zach. Way to carry the team.
Yeah, and then I think it was like 15-2 or something on the first game. So, yeah, it was pretty terrible. But they were playing a division – we're Division Two, and they were playing a Division One elite. So, really wasn't – I don't even know why they were playing them, but –
just to see how they stack up, I guess.
Yeah, and it was when we left, it was beautiful. It was sunny out, nice and warm. And then it, as soon as we got over Peterborough, it just started pouring. I'm like, we're not going to have this game, but we ended up having it. So it was good.
Sweet. Cool. All right. Well, with that, over to you, Paul. It's been 24 hours. How's it been going?
Well, let's see. The last 24 hours has been fairly uneventful. You know, I've made myself a really good breakfast this morning. And then I did some Dungeons and Dragons via the PlayStation and did some Baldur's Gate.
Cool. Breaking it up. Nice job. Well, that works for me. You know, me, it was kind of a light Sunday for me. The wife ended up having some work related stuff, and then she, you know, surprised me at the very last minute and said, "Hey, we got to go to the beach." And so I packed the dog up and sprinted out to Hampton in less than record time for me. And turned back around after grabbing some pizza and, you know, getting rained on because we're pretty much, the rain was chasing us. So didn't really get a whole lot of, beach time, but enough to check the box for my wife. So I think that worked out good for me. And, we're back here. So, cool. Well, we've got obviously a great show tonight. And, you know, I want to say hello to everybody in the chat. And, you know, thanks for folks to jumping in there and tuning in. And, you know, before we bring in our awesome guests tonight, this evening, we're going to cover a little housekeeping things. So as always, you know, have you gone over and checked out our store lately? You know, we've added some exciting stuff there to the Live Free and Ham storefront. So, you know, obviously among some of the new arrivals are stylish tees, you know, trendy shirts or top of line beer mugs. You know, that's, you know, perfect for any craft beer enthusiast. I guarantee you will get 5 dB more if you pick up 2 of them. So, you know, you want to make sure you consider that if you really value your contest scores. You know, you want to make sure you have, your ham radio gear, Live Free and Ham specific right next to you, because it's going to be that rewarding for you. But, you know, if that's not enough, you know, to entice you, you know, perhaps maybe you're more like Mike, N2MAK. You know, he recently picked up a Live Free and Ham Classic tee. You know, it's a must have for any fashion forward individual. And, you know, thank you, Mike, again, for grabbing that from the store and the support in Live Free and Ham. And, you know, my favorite friend, Tim, KC1QDK, he came by, he picked up our classic Live Free and Ham snapback hat. We've all seen the lovely lettering, you know, our logos and the whole deal there. So, you know, you want to head over to our shop and check that stuff out. And, you know, it's a great way to support the show everything that we do here. And as always, we always want to thank everybody who have in the past, and we appreciate it 100%. So, you know, we've got a little bit of a new segment here. Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and kick that off here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Everybody, we got some news.
Slow down, Boog. Let me handle this. We've got some news. I've got bad news and bad news.
I have reviewed ship's personnel, Captain.
Congratulations, you've got mail.
Well, we've got a bunch of people leaving some reviews on iTunes. So we finally headed on over there and realized that, you know, people have been leaving messages. So, you know, we want to make sure we can give back. And it's not the typical, you know, we need to replace the toilet paper in the men's bathroom type messages, or, you know, what's the point of a comment box? So let's kind of dive in. We got 2 reviews this week. And for this episode. So the first one's from Keith, KC1 OZX. He says this is his favorite ham radio podcast. Well, I appreciate that. And I'm sure all the other guys embrace that as well. He says, these guys do a great job of taking complicated topics and breaking it down into very educational, entertaining content. Keep it up. Well, we definitely will, Keith, and we appreciate your comment and your review as always. And as Paul's shirt says, ham radio makes me feel dumb every day. And that's why we do, you know, Live Free and Ham podcast. So, you know, with that, that is Keith. And so we have one more. This one comes from JTGHYI. I don't know what that one's get jiggy with it. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, he says we're educational, which, you know, is questionable in some weeks, you know, as we said before. But he says it's a great podcast, interesting topics for all levels of experience. And we definitely keep you guys entertaining. So thanks to Keith and JT. We appreciate you guys listening. And to all those that want to or have left us a review, thank you again for posting. And as always, if you want to head over, you can go to your favorite podcast app. You can always head over to our website or to iTunes, leave us a review. And if it even makes it easier, you can always send a review to livefreeandham@gmail.com. And we'll be sure to read it on our next episode. So again, thank you. Thanks to everybody and for everyone in those reviews. So without further ado, I won't leave him in the green room too long. We got a special guest tonight on the show. You might know him from his outdoor extreme photo adventures in the Alaskan bush. Let's bring in and welcome Jeremy KL7EC of KL7EC Outdoors. Man, that's a mouthful there. But hey, Jeremy, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, good, good. Cool. Well, you know, thank you for coming on the show tonight. I know we will have a lot of conversations. I can already see Paul beaming ear to ear because, you know, just.
And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
Extreme ice fishing conversations are going to, you know, ensue soon enough. So,
cool. Jeremy, it's nice to meet you. I've been trying to work you for like a year.
This is the only happening way, Todd.
I'm trying. I get you. One day I heard you. I was upstairs. I was on my flex. You popped up on Ham Alert. I heard you making contacts. I ran downstairs, died. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. Mm. So I heard you on my phone. I ran down. I'm like, I'm getting them on the radio. But yeah, I need Alaska and Hawaii are my last two parks.
Oh, man.
Or hunted parks. So I've gotten Alaska doing a park. I have North Pole, Alaska. I don't know. Are you anywhere near there? I have no idea even where you're at.
That's like 6 miles south. Or we're 6 miles south. Or 6 hours south, rather.
Okay.
Oh, 6 hours. Yeah. So I did work a guy there, and I go, you in a park by any chance? He goes, no. So I'm like, all right, it doesn't help me, but thanks.
Well, look for us because we're going to be out this next weekend. We'll be out. We're going out to Big Lake camping, so we'll be there Friday night, Saturday night. So,
all right, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely try to get it. Eric, you hear that? We got to get my antenna back up.
I know. Yeah. I've already got the antenna launcher all fixed and ready to go. So we'll
get you out did?
There. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's all done. I've tested it and refined it. So we're ready.
For those of you who don't know, I lost Eric's weight in the trees and then it fell into the ground. I still can't find it. So, we didn't have an extra one. So my antenna came down in one of our storms that we've been having. So, I only have half of it up. So,
cool.
Now, Todd, all you got to do is fire up your logger, right? Jeremy can do his, and you just do a voiceover IP. Right?
Does that count?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
that actually might work. Very cool. All right. Well, you know, so we always like to kind of get to know our guests, and, you know, Jeremy's no exception there, you know, so we always like to kind of have, you know, put them on the spot a little bit and, you know, ask them, you know, kind of what their ham radio story is. Why get into this crazy hobby? You know, I don't see you have your tinfoil hat with you or any of the background photos. So I assume you're probably normal like all the rest of us. But kind of start there. You know, what inspired you to get into ham radio? Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Alaska and where you're at, because there's a lot of great stories that I want to get details on. But so let's start there.
Oh gosh, let's see. It all started probably middle school, going into the high school. Had a couple buddies. We had trucks. We ran around everywhere together. Going through the mud bog, whatever. Really got into CB radio so we could stay in communication with each other, because cell phone wasn't a thing back then. Or actually, it was, but it was ungodly expensive. So, you know, we couldn't afford it. So, you know, we just put some, what was it, the Cobra Not Teens in all of her trucks. And so that's how it started. Did that for, I don't know, a couple years in high school, and then just completely forgot about it. And Dad started his trucking business. He was a over-the-road driver and got his own authority and then started doing his own run. And went with him a couple of times, and you know, the CB was a big thing in, you know, in the rigs. So that kind of sparked the interest again. Then it kind of fell back out. And I was always fascinated with weather growing up. It's always been that, just, it's always fascinated me, you know, being in the South in Georgia. You know, we had a lot of severe thunderstorms, hail, tornadoes, whatnot. And so we actually had a tree fell on our mobile home at one point, trapped me and my sister inside. Ooh. And, yeah, it was a bad, it could have been really bad. But we made it through it. My sister did have like a fractured back. But she's okay now. No issues. I was like, oh man, I need to get into something, you know, weather wise, cause I always loved weather. So I started Googling, and or was it Google back then? I don't know.
Yeah, it was probably Netscape or something. The fact
no, it goes. Whatever AOL was had.
Oh yes.
So I found Skywarn, and I was like, "Well, what is this?" And got to read into it, and they were talking about, yeah, you could be a Skywarn member, maybe. You don't have to be an amateur radio operator, but you can. It's good if you are. So I started looking into that, and went to a Skywarn class, met some good friends that I call now from back home, the CRC club back in Somerville, Georgia. Nice. And I got my ticket. And you know, we were talking about earlier in the back, you know, this was the time you still had to do the code to take the go up to the general. And so I did that for a couple of years, just stayed in the technician. I was able to I think they just changed it where you could let technician have slivers his own 10 meters.
Yeah, they barely gave us a sliver of 10 meters.
Yeah, it was just a little bit to get me really hooked. And then they dropped the code, and I was like, I got to take the general test. So I took the general test, got my first call, which was KI4NBI. So that was in Georgia. That went on, I don't know, a couple years. I really got really into it. I put up a tower at the house. It was a 50-foot tower. Me and my buddy, well, he helped me, Dwayne Treadaway, helped me build a hex beam. So we had like some crappy poles, and you know, built a whole hex beam, put it on top. And wow. And so I really loved HF. And so, but like anything else, I was a big metal detectorist too. I love metal detecting. Being in the South, you know, that's all the Civil War stuff that happened, and I love finding those. So it was a kind of push and shove between the two hobbies. Okay, you know, one time I wanted to do metal detecting, and the other time I wanted to do just ham radio, and it was back and forth. And so I finally I just gave up ham radio and just done metal detecting full time. Every ounce of time I got, that's what I did. And so fast forward a little bit, life brought me up to Alaska. I still had, you know, my call. I kept it up. Didn't do a lot of stuff on HF. So I ended up, I was like, I need to get a KO call. I mean, that's just cool.
You got to get a 7 call alone is cool.
Yeah, it's like it's like the KO call is its own amplifier. Somebody hears the KO call, oh, I want them, you know. That's what I thought. And so I got my KO call, and I put a station up here at the house. And, you know, this was when this past cycle was just at the bottom, you know, starting to come up. I tried to make contacts over and over. It's like, where's all these people at? You know, I have a KO call now. Well, I don't hear nobody. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm just done with it altogether. And so I gave it up. I sold everything I had, every single thing.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's dedication. And,
yeah. I was pissed to say the least. But then Then a friend of mine, he's like, hey, have you heard of POTA? I was like, what is that? He's like, Parks on the Air. I was like, I've never heard of that. He goes, yeah, you get a portable setup, you go out to the park, you make do activation, you get contacts. I was like, well, that sounds pretty cool. So I looked into it and I was like, okay. Because metal detection is like, I did a little bit up here in Alaska, but it's like, okay, we had a very minimal window when the ground wasn't frozen where you can actually go out and dig or whatever. And there's not really a lot of history. I mean, there is history here, but not that old what I'm used to. So I never really got a hankering, if you will, to chase metal detecting up here in Alaska, which I still love it though. But yeah, so decided to do ham radio again to do the POTA, bought me a FT891 and a Wolf River coil, and man, it's been a blast ever since.
Whoa, you got my ears with the Wolf River coil there, you know. So I got a question, and I ask every POTA guy this, is especially when they do their activation. What was your first activation like for you? Was it rocky? Was it memorable? You know, was it like, I could do better than this?
What was it? My first four activations were a total failure.
Okay. You didn't even activate the park?
Nope. Wow. I spent that. Like I said, we were still climbing up out of, in this new solar cycle. We were still True. Coming up. Okay. And I really didn't know a lot about propagation here in Alaska. So I wasn't out at the right times when I should have been. And I spent 2-3 hours at a park, only get 4, 5, 6 contacts.
Oh,
and well,
we thought we had it rough during the eclipse. Jeez, that's real rough.
yeah. So I was at to that point where I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do this, but it was so fun getting out. It was so fun setting up. So I kept on, and I'm glad I did. Finally figured propagation out when I needed to go, what times, what bands, etc. But yeah, it's been a blast ever since. I've got quite a few failed activations even since then. But it's just one of those things you have to deal with here.
Well, they're not failures as long as you're learning.
Oh, exactly.
So, all right. So your POTA setup, and I want to kind of dive in because you had talked about building a hex beam when you were in Georgia, and I assume you sort of kind of carried that forward into when you were up in Alaska later. And I guess I saw a couple of videos related to your hex beam. I'm like, oh my gosh, that would not that would not survive. But you must have built it pretty well. But so in terms of the POTA side, did you? Where along the lines did you just decide that, things started to take off for you? And then at that point, I assume somewhere along the line, you just decided that, hey, I should start recording this and doing videos, or, what kind of, led you to the channel side of things?
Yeah. So it was, it's funny. It's always, ever since I started, it's always took off essentially, even though, like Paul was saying, it's not really a failed activation, but, you didn't get your 10 contacts, but I had ton of people emailing me, messaging me on Facebook. Hey, I really need Alaska. This is the time where there's only a few of us here in Alaska that were operating. And so I was like, all right, I got to do this. And at first it started where my friends, Dwayne, him and Doug came up, and they had done something with Chris over at Buddy Pole. They were just coming out with the Buddy Hex. So it was the prototype. And he said, hey, I'll let you guys bring it up to Alaska. You get me some videos, some cool photos. And
I remember that.
And then I'll let you use it. Right. So we did that. And I was like, man, I really like this Buddy Hex. And Dwayne was doing a YouTube channel at that time. And I have a real good friend of mine who I went to college with for HVAC. He's got a huge YouTube channel. Which he does strictly trucking, and his name is Sammy. His channel is Make Sense. I don't know if you're ever ran into him or
we'll throw him in the links there for folks who want to catch up on his channel, and we'll throw in the show notes too. But
yeah,
go on.
Yeah. So we were talking one day, and he said, "Man, you have a niche. Like by yourself, you have a niche that you need to grab." And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, doing what you're doing up in Alaska. It's a niche in itself. I was like, okay. So he's the one that actually inspired me and talked a lot about how to set up a channel. I was like, okay. So at first it was just a just a visual of everybody who I made contact with to see me, or kind of the for them to hear, you know, how they come across in Alaska. That's how it started. And then I started getting emails, hey, you should do this. And I was like, okay. So it just progressed, and it was, you know, between all the viewers just giving me suggestions, kind of what it brought up, how it is today. So, but I've had a lot of fun doing it.
I tuned into you a while. I can't remember when I did, but when I did, I think it's probably right around the same when everybody else is like, I need to get Alaska on POTA, you know, just to kind of like more of the selfish reasons to like see if I could find somebody on the internet,
right,
you know, who might be able to get me what I need. But when I caught your channel, I think I caught it like right when you were starting or just had gotten your FAA license for doing the drone stuff. And I was just like, oh, dude, this is awesome. And it was like the footage was just like, you know, top quality. Like, I was like, I'm not watching a regular YouTuber here. I mean, this guy's putting some solid content out there. And I was just like, I want to be in Alaska. I'm like, hey, honey, we're going to Alaska next week. You know, I don't care what you're saying. You know? And then, you know, and then I saw some of your other videos and I'm like, well, okay, maybe I might make a trip there, but I don't think I'll be staying long term.
Yeah, it's been, you know, that's just been one of those things where, you know, trying to grow my channel in different ways, and doing the drone shots. I mean, we live in a absolutely beautiful place. You know, I've been up here 8 years now, and it's like every time I go out, every time I see the Chugach Mountain Range, it never gets old to see that beauty, to see that majestic. And I really wanted to capture that from, you know, from a drone. And I started looking into it. Yeah, you have to, you know, have your FAA license to do it, because my channel is now monetized. So went through that process and bought a Air 3, and it's been fun. It's just been a lot of fun.
Very cool. Well, hey, go ahead, guys. If you've got any questions, throw them his way.
Well, I figured Todd would have drone questions, being the RC guy.
Yeah. Well, man, I got into ham radio, Jeremy, because COVID hit, and I needed a license to do FPV, to have a technician's license. So it was like $5 app, and I'm like, all right, I'll do this. So I got it, got a little HT, and then I met these guys, and here I am doing podcasts and spending lots of money, but having a lot of fun. I love POTA. It's being outdoors, working the parks, just getting out mobile is really my thing. It's what I do more of than anything else in ham radio. But yeah, I've been flying model airplanes, helicopters, and the drones. I mean, the drones to me are like cheating, because, you know, like they just stay in the air and do the things. But the old ones, when DJI came out with their first ones, you used to be able to hit the switch and it'd fly manually. And all these guys would come out and buy them. And I'd always say, all right, let's see you fly it manually. And it just wasn't happening. But the technology now is just absolutely incredible. I mean, I was looking at the drones that they came out. Like, they just came out with a new FPV drone, and it's just amazing the stuff that they can do, like how advanced it's gotten probably within the last 5 to 10 years. It's just been crazy. So yeah, but that's kind of where I'm at. And like I said, didn't you do a trip with your buddies? It was like you had to like drive, then you had to take snowmobiles, then you had to hike. Did you do that for like a weekend or something?
Yeah, when we went up to Mentor Flats.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't easy to get to. You said like no one's ever worked the park before. It's like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was trying to work you on that weekend, and I'd get glimpses of you. Like, you'd come in for a little bit, and I'd try, and like, you guys never heard me. But that was quite the adventure. I mean, you guys took truck, snowmobile, and then you had to hike too, didn't you?
There. Oh, not really hike, but yeah, I met Sean KL5NE and Doug KL7DUG, and they started watching the channel, and you know, they live right here close to me, and they reached out, and I met with them, become real good friends with them. Love those guys, and it's because of them that we've taken kind of the channel to kind of this other side of activation, like doing the more, I wouldn't say extreme stuff, but doing the stuff that I've never did. You know, I rode a snow machine a couple times, but to actually jump on a snow machine, go out to a park, It was all new to me. And so Sean, he was like, yeah, let's go up and do Mentor Flats, you know, which is, you know, probably about a 5-hour drive for us. And then probably about 30 minutes on a snow machine. So it's not really that bad. But it was like negative 18 degrees. So it was a little chilly.
Like but you're 5 hours away in a half an hour snowmobile and it's negative 18 degrees. And you're like, yeah, we'll just go do a Poda Park. That's hard. Like, look, that's hardcore for us. I mean, we might get a little crazy, but not that crazy.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I
was just really impressed with that one. And, you know, you guys were like, I think you were pretty much there for the weekend, right? And you were running all kinds of bands, and I tried all weekend. That's all I was doing. I was like hunting you guys down, and I just couldn't, for some reason, the way my antenna is set up or whatever, Alaska is really, really hard. But I'm eventually going to get my DX Commander up, and I'm hoping that'll make a little difference to get me to better out west. I'm better off South America and Europe. Going that direction. So, you know, even California is tough to get, but if the bands are right, you know, I can get them. And my brother lives out in California, and I was out there a couple times, and I'd be listening to you, and I'd have this, my portable set up on the deck, just waiting, like, all right, he's got to be activated. And, you know, one time out there, you didn't activate all weekend. I'm like, where is he? I'm close.
So most of your activations, you're running like your Buddy Pole Pro, right?
It really depends. The Buddy Pole was my main one. Then I kind of switched over to the Buddy Stick. So I've been flipping in between the two. But yeah, it's, that's probably my main.
So I guess what do I have to do in order to be able, like a bunch of super chats or something to the effect to be able to get you to always set up the hex beam or, you know, get that wolf of recoil, you know, going there with maybe like an elevated, or a center fed, version of that, you know, that I think that might just give me that little extra, you know, couple of dB I need to get a hold of you.
You're close. You're very close. You're just not there yet. We haven't crossed the line yet.
We're setting up the hex beam this weekend. So,
ooh, cool. All right. I got you on hammer alert. I'm ready then. Okay. So Mike's got a question here real quick in the chat. He says, how often you operate on bands below 20 meters in Alaska? And, you know, what's the propagation like usually?
So 20 meters is probably the most reliable to a certain extent. But now here recently, probably the last 6-7 months, 10 meters has been absolutely phenomenal for us. Typically it's when it comes in, it's only in for maybe a couple hours or, you know, maybe a day. My previous experience, but for the last 6-7 months has been incredible. So we like to hit those. 10 meters is one of those bands where I don't know what it is. I call it a magic band because for very minimal effort antenna, you know, your compromise antenna, whatnot, you can talk like very good distances. So we've really been focusing, staying on that 10 meter side. But sometimes, we try other bands, of course. 17 is typically a good one for us as well. It really depends on the propagation. In the wintertime, it seems like 10 is probably the best. As soon as we start going into summertime, for us, 20 and 17, 15 is probably going to be the ones that we choose the most. Hmm. Unless 10 is open.
Cool. Now, we were talking before we went live, and I was mentioning how impressed I was with the wood stove in your clam shelter. And I see we got Mr. Izzo in the chat, and he's an Eskimo guy like myself. So if you don't mind, just kind of give me a quick rundown so that everybody else can understand too what it took to put a wood stove in there, because it's a phenomenal idea.
For me, there's like, I don't know if you have a Sportsman's Warehouse close to you. But typically they sell like stove jacks that you can put in these insulated tents, or you can buy them online. They're fairly easy. My buddy Sean, he just bought one for his, which I wish I knew about, because I would have probably went that route. But on mine personally, I have there's two ventilation ports on each side for cross ventilation. I essentially took one flapper out, just cut out the flapper, and got a fire blanket that once I shoved the stove pop through that ventilation hole, I just wrap it with the fire blanket for that, you know, for that protection from the heat. And that's worked exceptional well. I've had no issues with it whatsoever, and it's kept the shanty warm, very warm, even in that negative 34 degrees. Once I had the wood heat, I had to cut it down because it was hitting close to 80 degrees inside the tent.
Well,
the smallest wood stove you can get.
You guys, you had to let the wood stove run so long that by the time the next day rolled around, you had like a nice, like it had died so low that you were like, oh, we got to get this thing back up and stoked because it was like, like a nice layer on the tent. I was like, oh my gosh, man.
especially Mental Flats was crazy. Cause we had the wood stove, but, you know, we don't have real good hardwoods here. So it's not, you can't put a hardwood in and it's going to burn 6-7 hours, whatnot. We have more softwoods here. They call them hardwoods, but they're really not. They're more of a softwood. I mean, they're only going to burn for about an hour or so. You're constantly feeding the stove. So at nighttime, we just turned on the propane heat. But yeah, next morning, I mean, the black canvas of the tent of the inside was just completely white. Fire up the wood stove and it melted it. It was like a rainforest in there for a minute. It was just showering all that stuff melting.
I've been there. You know, we've definitely had, you know, cold winters up here. And I love to ice fish and I love to play radio. But yeah, I run the buddy heater and condensation on the inside and frozen propane tanks when you start getting to like negative 30. It's just, it's a pain. So, I'm going to definitely take a tip from you and look into putting a wood stove into my Eskimo.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. So on an average, I mean, when you do these trips, I want to touch on who did you do the flying trip with where you guys, took a plane out?
Yeah, that was, Doug Kale 7DUG.
Okay. All right, yeah. So
When we went up to the Mental Flats on the way back, we kind of come out a little early, probably a day early, what we planned on. So we figured, okay, on the way back, we'll stop by Denali because none of us has ever activated that park. But it was real late. We went in, set up, about froze our butts off, but not a first contact. We're in a group chat, essentially, just a group text, me, Doug, and Sean, and we were talking about, well, let's go activate a park we never activated, and Sean wasn't able to go, so Doug said, hey, I was like, well, what are you thinking about? He said, well, let's go up to Denali. I was like, and this was like Sunday morning, 9 o'clock or so. Like, Doug, that's like a 5-hour drive up there, 5-hour drive back, and it's already, you know, we're already starting late. He goes, no, just come over to the house. We'll jump in the Cub, head up there, land on the lake. Already got it all planned out. Awesome. Do our activation. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm on my way. Doug lives right in the airport community. You know, out his front yard is an airstrip. So he's got a hangar. He's got two hangars at his house. So we pulled his Cub out of the lower hangar, jumped in it, took off. It was probably about an hour flight. Landed on the lake in the middle of the Denali, and
operated off the wing. I mean, that's like, dude, that's like golden.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking that he was going to do that because we brought all of his gear. He just sets it up on the wing. I was like, oh man, this is going to be cool. I need to put the camera right here.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, I was blown away by that. So I got a couple of things. I went back kind of a little bit further in some of your videos, and I caught the one. It must have been an ice storm early on at your home QTH, where you had posted video of your hex beam basically inverted in basically just totally. And you were like, yeah, no big deal. You know, it'll eventually just warm up. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, any hex beam around in this, part of the world, we get more, solid ice and it just hangs. And, I was just like, man, I hope that thing survives. And it's like, yeah, it was no problem. He's like, yeah, I pop back up. Everything was all good. And so you still running the hex beam at home, or you got a different setup? Or
I have that exact same hex beam. It's the KO hex beam. And okay. I purchased it about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's got the ice cords and all that good stuff with it. Yeah, I really thought that thing was a goner. I did not think it was going to come back out. We had early in the season, we had some real wet snow, which typically we don't get. It's more of a dry snow, but it was earlier in the season, so we had a bunch of freeze thaw stuff going on, and got a real I think it was like 14-15 inches that night we got through a storm. And I didn't even notice it. Went outside to do something, looked up, I was like, oh my god. And I thought it was a goner.
I
started that video thinking it was going to be a symphony video, essentially. I started banging on it, and I seen one of the legs start straightening out. I was like, okay, all right. I think it's going to work out. So yeah, I just banged the crap out of it different ways. I got a roof rake that I used to get the snow off the roof, you know, and extended it as far as it goes, started hitting some of the elements and knocking off the snow, and it just like pops right back. I was like, wow.
That's impressive.
I even threw the drone up to catch that as it was happening. I didn't think it was going to go that way at all. Well, I thought it was going.
I think you're a perfect candidate for, there's a company in New Hampshire called VQ Hex, and they make a hex beam that you know, you probably seen them on, you know, Ham Radio 2.0 and a bunch of other, you know, a lot of the big ham benches and stuff. His claim to fame is like the same thing, like New England weathers will kill it. And I'm like, I bet you he should send it up to Alaska, and I'm going to have to put you in touch with him just to test the crap out of that thing to see whether or not I can handle it.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, real quick, you're from Alabama, right?
Georgia.
All right. You're from Georgia. You get up to Alaska. I mean, what was your experience with snow prior to Alaska? You've gone to complete opposite environments.
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, being in Georgia, the meteorologist just says, or hints the S word. It's like complete shutdown. Everybody's running to the grocery store, MIGs, eggs, milk, whatever, bread, it's gone. I thought that was a thing. I mean, I know you guys are probably laughing at us at that point. Anytime there's a mention of snow in the South. Once I got up here in Alaska, so it's a real different kind of snow. You know, everything we get back, when we did get snow back in Georgia, it was, you know, that kind of that wet snow, that real slippery stuff. The snow we get here, except for that one particular time, you know, beginning of the season, it's kind of that wet stuff. But for most part, it's real dry. And it makes driving horrible, especially if there's, you know, a lot of wind. It can be a whiteout in quite no time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Cool. All right. Well, so I got a couple other questions, and we'll kind of just, you know, go through some of the catalog there. In terms of, like, I noticed it, when you go out and prepare for like your just a weekend or like even an overnight, I mean, you're packing a ton of gear. I mean, obviously you want to make sure you're comfortable and whatnot, but the one thing I don't see a lot of is like, okay, what are you packing for food? I mean, are you going just the bare essentials, or are you eating like kings?
No, it's the bare essentials. We do a lot of mountain houses. So, you know, it's just dehydrated stuff. We just cook up water, throw it in there and doing it that way. There is a couple times I went out and, at the beginning of the winter, almost, I brought out a tent at South Big Lake, I believe it was. And, you know, I think it's one of the first activations I did with the stove, not in the shanty, but it was in another tent that's actually got a roof jack. But I did do some cooking there. I'm just playing around. I love to eat. I love to cook. You know, these longer trips, we'll probably just stick to mountain houses. Like, we have this huge trip coming up. We're probably going to do it after we get back from Dayton. Doug is going to fly Sean and I. It's about a 5-hour flight to the Arctic, which has never been activated before. There's a landing strip up there. We're going to land and kind of hike up a little ways and set up camp there. That's been in the works for a while now, and it will continue because logistics is crazy. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong on that trip. So we're trying to, you know, dial everything down and to make sure we got a good plan. But that's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Cool. Now, is it legal to catch and cook in Alaska?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in New Hampshire, you're supposed to remove the fish from the ice and then you can cook it on the shore. You're not supposed to catch and cook on the ice. It's a stupid law, but
yeah. Now that you mention cooking on the ice, I don't know.
Not like there's rangers running around to every park in the middle
of cooking that fish.
Nothing like New Hampshire around here, man.
I wouldn't think so, as long as we did everything right as far as disposing of the carcass. I don't know.
Cool.
I'm gonna have to look into that now.
And then a follow-up episode. So curious, obviously you don't show it in your videos, but I'm curious, like, obviously in any of your activations, either the overnight ones where you're doing a weekend and whatnot, have you seen anything like crazy, like like either like animals or nature or something just like really like that just threw you for like, oh my gosh, I can't, you're dealing with the elements, or has it just been kind of even keel for you?
Yeah, it's been very, very good here lately. Never really had a face off with any kind of a bear or something. I had a couple moose get pretty close a couple times, but they just went on their way. That's one of the things we're really looking into on this trip up north, because the grizzlies are a lot. I mean, that's grizzly country. So that's something we're definitely going to have to keep an eye on that trip. But as far as anything like that recent, no.
Okay. Yeah, curious. Because I can imagine. I know
you said you're going up to the Arctic. So you'll be in the Arctic Circle when you do this trip.
I'm not sure if it's actually the Arctic Circle. I can't think of the park name off the top of my head, but it's the Gates of the Arctic, I believe it is. But that one's way up there, north of Fairbanks.
Will there be polar bears up there that far?
Like polar bears? No, because this will be more in the mountain ranges. I wouldn't think so. I mean, they would be out, more on the ocean side. This is like dead set in the interior.
Got it.
So some of your activations and whatnot, are you mostly just a voice guy? Or I mean, obviously we're going to touch on the CW stuff a little bit, because I think that that's an interesting aspect to talk about and how you picked it up and just kind of ran with it. Any digital I know in one of your activations, I think it was either Dave or somebody else was doing digital, but do you do digital yourself, or are you just mostly a sideband guy?
I'm mostly a sideband guy. I love the whole voice aspect of it. I did try digital FT8, FT4 a few times, and I still do it every now and again. More in the summertime, if we're camping with a family and in the camper, and I don't want to really bother them with the whole voice stuff. And while they're sleeping, I might jump on FT8 or FT4 and make some contacts then.
Digital in the field is so boring.
Oh,
it isn't I'm drinking. With you, Jeremy. Sideband.
I won't deny the sideband stuff, but when you're drinking and you just need something to do, I'll do digital. So you've got a little question there. Any Aurora? I assume Aurora sightings. I mean, that's almost a given when you're up in that neck of the woods, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. The thing about it, you start seeing Aurora, that K index is like through the roof, and we can kiss radio goodbye at that point.
It's a dark age.
But it is nice to see though. It's spectacular. I can't get over it. It's just, I don't know. It's just so amazing. Just the light reflection and how it just dances in the sky. When you see pictures, you see a lot of still pictures and you're like, oh, that's cool. But actually visually seeing it and how it just changes shapes and it moves like extremely fast. And it's just remarkable.
We've been getting it. we've been getting in New Hampshire, like alerts, like you might be able to see it in the North Country and even down here. But when it gets down like to Southern New Hampshire, it's always cloudy out. But I know that it seems like it's spreading farther south, you know, some of these bigger ones that they have, but, right. But I'm sure by you, it's just like amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But the aurora kills the HF signals.
Oh yeah, because typically your K index is through the roof, and yeah, it's even
digital for you guys, or just only voice or
yeah, everything.
Wow,
everything. Nice. Now you know they do. I've never tried it, but there's a couple locals that say, you know, especially if you have antenna that you can, you know, directional antenna, you can point it over the aurora and. Sometimes you can make some like extremely cool contacts doing it that way. Some effects of it where it just bounces a signal whichever way. It's never one of those things where you know exactly where you're going to hear or where you're going to talk to. But I've never tried it. I always wanted to though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think maybe like just being able to do long skip might be an option to see if you could, you know, crack through, you know. It's like sort of like the D layer just kind of killing you, you know, during the regular day down here, you know, where you would probably have that with the aurora and effect, but you know, you might surprise. I'd be curious to see if that would work for you.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to have to try it. Maybe try it with all the bands to see what works.
Or even VHF, UHF, and see if you can't get like ionospheric, tropospheric ducting, you know?
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, Doug, he has a Alaska Arrow. He does a little bit of satellite stuff, which I think is pretty neat. I've never did it myself, but I'm really looking forward to that to see if we can make some contacts that way.
So what's your most like common area of contacts? Like, let's say you just go to a local park and you start activating, like where are you making most of your contacts?
It really depends through the day. It like early mornings, I would say my time, 11, between 10 to 12, we really start hitting the East Coast, which would be, 2-3 o'clock you guys' time. And it kind of works its way west through more of the evening portion of the hours. But there's been times where, you know, it's been 6-7 o'clock at night for me, and I'm working like a ton of East Coast stations.
Now, do you get a lot of Asian stations too? You know, DX, or is it mostly?
Yeah, we do. Kiko, who's actually in a jet, done a couple made contact with him at a park. He's out in the Philippines. So I think that was FT8 though, from here in the house. But yeah, it's we get a lot of Japan stations through the day, and then at nighttime is really when everything kind of fires up. You get more of that Asia, Australia side.
Like for us, we get like Europe and South America are pretty common, pretty easy to get on a daily basis. You know, if things are going right, right. And then we, at least for me, I mean, I can get to, I don't know, where would I say, like Montana, Texas, yeah. And then anything past that, it starts getting weaker. But, you know, every once in a while, the bands will be up. That's why, like, if you get a Hawaii or Alaska or even, like, a Japan, you're, like, loving life. But we had, like, last summer, 20 meters. I worked a couple overnight shifts, and I was hitting New Zealand and Australia. Like, there was no tomorrow, like, 5-9, 20 over on 100 meters. And I had a QSO with a guy who was, he had a Yagi 100 meters and I had a wire. We probably talked for 20 minutes and he was out in New Zealand. That was like 10,800 miles away.
Yeah.
So those are kind of cool when you get that far. But, you know, for us, you know, a good typical day, if you get a couple Europe stations, you're like, all right, that was a good, some good DX during the POTA thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Jeremy, I know you did a video and went actually a really well produced video. I was impressed with the quality of, kind of just the whole arcing theme and flow with you had gone to a cabin with your family as well. And kind of the one thing I love about a lot of YouTubers that like let them see, you know, you kind of open the door a little bit. You can see your family side and get to, you know, see that, you know, kind of the everything beyond the ham radio. We got to kind of see that. when you were on, you had done a rented a cabin, I think is what that was. So how does your family kind of, you know, adjust to your hobby? Do they embrace it? Do they, kind of just, you know, just accept it? You know, what's that kind of feeling?
My wife is absolutely, she's amazing. She's really supported me, and my hobbies, the whole way, even the YouTube channel. And, so yeah, she supports it 100%. And, you know, I can't thank her enough for that. But yeah, I really like that side of things, and I'll be doing a lot more things of that nature as, we start taking out the family. Like the family will be with me, next weekend for, you know, Support Your Parks weekend at Big Lake. So they'll be with me. So I plan on doing a video of that. So, sweet. But yeah, it's, they love it.
Any future, maybe, you know, YL, you know, having the license,
you know, I've tried, and, she's my wife. She's a talker. I mean, all wives are talkers, right? And,
which way you think that it'd be popular for them?
right. I've tried. She's really not interested in it, but, I think one day, I think she will. Yeah, hopefully.
My advice is start with a kid first. then the wife will come.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The girls, absolutely. They eat it up. They love going out on activations with me, but I really got to watch it. You know, YouTube has a thing about, you know, having your little ones. So I really have to watch that side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my advice is, you know, I once they get a little older, my daughter surprised me and got her, you know, license without me even knowing. And then one day it was like, you know, it kind of, you know, hey, I got this little piece of paper and shows me her call. And I was just like, okay, totally blown away. I mean, she would come on POTUS with me all the time. And as Todd would say, you know, I'm cheating, but you know, she recorded a couple of, you know, CQ messages that I usually use in desperation. You know, when I need to get that extra, you know, couple of extra contacts to get over to activate the park, and you know, they go, "Well, where's the girl?" I'm like, "I don't know what girl you're talking about."
That is, oh man, well, that's awesome there.
Well, you know, last field day, you know, I was trying to get work a pile. I was just trying to get into a pile, you know, trying to get a. And I tried for like 20 minutes, and she was kind of hanging out with me in the tent, the station that I had, and she's like, "Let me try one call." She gets it. I'm like, at least half an hour, 40 minutes once. Oh, that was easy. Then she leaves.
The power of the female voice.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree with Kiko there. Family of hams. You know, if you could start that process, you know, my daughter's got a ticket. My brother's got his ticket. My dad got his ticket. So, you know, my wife will fight me to the near end, but, you know, overall, so far, the way I look at it, I'm winning. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. Well, so let's kind of dive in before I do. But you guys, any other questions you want to throw, Jeremy, or, you know, want to talk about the CW stuff? I know it's not popular with us, but.
Hey, I just don't speak that language.
Understood. So let's kind of frame this a little bit. So on your channel, you just recently been picking CW back up and doing a couple of videos, and they've been phenomenal. Like you've inspired me a little bit to want to take that keyer that I have underneath my shelf here and, you know, put it to use. But you know, talk a little bit about that. You know, kind of what's your experience been in that? And we obviously shared a little bit of you know, how it was a struggle for you very early on, but. You know, so what inspired you to want to get back to it and start picking it up again?
Yeah, so I got a I've tried like four times or three other times to try to learn CW. One was you know, when I first wanted to get my general license, when that was a thing. Then there's a couple times after that where I really wanted to learn it. Just always struggled with learning it at that slower speed. I could never get it. It was like I would try it for a couple of days, then I would just get so burnt out on it where I just gave it up. And about a month or so ago, I got an email from one of the viewers, John, and he said, "Hey, I need do you do any CW? I need a 40 meter contact from." He's a county hunter, so he needs my county. Which is not Alaska doesn't have counties. We just have a kind of like boroughs. So he needs the Matanuska borough for a CW contact. He says if he gets that, he would be the second person in the world to ever have done it, what he's accomplished this thus far, plus having this contact with the Matsu. Second person in the world. And I was like, oh man, talking about pressure.
Pressure. And,
yeah. It, I mean, he didn't say, you know, I said, I'm sorry. I tried to learn it. And, you know, he was never pushy about the whole thing. And I said, I would love to learn it, but I could never get there. It's always been a very hard challenge for me. And so he started sending me some links. I mean, he put a lot of time in, putting a bunch of resources together for me. And I started looking into it. And, you know, I really appreciate that. And I sent him an email back. I was like, I really appreciate you taking the time and putting all these resources together for me. Because of that, I'm going to get you your 40 meter contact. So hopefully nice. We can do that next weekend.
You're going to record it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, sweet. Awesome. I'll look
forward to that. No, it'll be recorded. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I struggle. I don't care. Like, I can't get the characters out of my head and trying to break it all down. So what you've been kind of just, you know, sharing and whatnot, it's been a positive influence in both my life and I'm sure others that have been watching. And, you know, it will eventually push me over the edge. And I got Tim in the comments there telling me to dust off my gear. I'm like, I will. I promise, you know, I'm getting there. There's so much more aspects of the hobby to kind of do, but, you know, it is going to be there and it's not going to disappear. So, Morse Mania is a really good option too there. B-band was, what we were talking about offline a little bit earlier. If you want to practice keying, and I'll do a little shameless plug for V-band. If you want to just pick up this, go over to hamradio.solutions. There's a simple, you know, plug-in keyer that interfaces with your computer. You can plug your keyer in and you can converse with people online, you know, in a group, you know, kind of QSO, and it's got all the functionality and features you'd want out of it. So I started in that area and I liked it, but then I just got, you know, sidetracked and squirreled. So, you know, I will pick it up. I promise.
Yeah. The biggest thing is just repetitive. You know, they say it takes 21 days of doing something repetitive for it to become a habit. It's just doing it over and over and over again. And, you know, and mix it up, you know, don't do the same thing every day, kind of mix it up where it doesn't seem like it's, you know, burning you out or whatever, but yeah, just keep on it.
I appreciate the courage and words of advice, but I'm working on that too. Yeah, myself. So, my gosh, what the heck? Come on, you silly computer. There we go. Come back to life. Yeah. So I will pick it up. It's on my to-do list. So that's cool. All right. Well, so you guys got any other questions for Jeremy? Anything you want to touch upon? And we're kind of getting up on the top of the hour here. And, you know, I appreciate everybody's been in the chat. The question's been great. And the conversation's been awesome. But Paul or Todd, you got anything you want to throw at Jeremy, kind of last minute?
Well, I'm just glad you're here and I got to actually meet you, via this. So now when I work, at least I know who I'm talking to, but I have been trying really hard and I'm hoping, you know, one of these days it's going to come through. And I thought a couple of weeks ago, I got the alert and I heard you on my phone. I just turned it because with my Flex radio and I heard you and I'm like, I ran downstairs. I got on the thing and it just died. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I should have just done it from the phone.
I know, right? Yeah. Why you bought the Flex?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you hear a W1 call, it's probably me. You've been the noise.
Well, I'll make sure to point to Buddy Hex, you guys' way to start. Yeah. So
you're doing a Support Your Park weekend, and we're doing a POTA meetup on Support Your Park weekend, which is coming up next weekend. So we'll have to just direct both hexes at each other because I've got a Buddy Hex too, which I love that antenna, dude. You know, if they ever ask you to send it back, tell them over your dead body because, as you know, it's a great antenna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So cool. All right. Well, so I guess with that, if people want to reach out to you, Jeremy, they want to get to know more of you, what's kind of the best way to get a hold of you, or, you know, what's your channel information kind of want to share that a little bit?
Yeah, it's KL7EC Outdoors. If you go through the info, it has my direct email. So you can definitely send me an email or hit me up on Facebook. I really don't do the other, really not a social media kind of guy. The only reason I keep Facebook around is just for the POTA stuff. But even other than that's a dumpster fire. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, but either one of those. Are you guys going to be at Dayton by chance?
No, that I think we're gonna have to coordinate that one. Yeah, we would definitely want to make a presence there. You know, we've been doing the pod for just almost a year, where our anniversary for first year will be coming up in June. So we're gonna do something special. Oh, nice. But I think, you know, that's on our to-do list, and we would definitely want to get down to like Camcation and whatever. So we're working on the budget there, and you know, eventually, you know, we got Ryan, who is a pilot as well. So you know, maybe we can convince him to kind of arrange a flight. So if you listen, Ryan, come on, step up the plate, man. Take one for the team.
Fly us next year.
Yeah, well, you know, he did say today, and he did say he wanted to do some things on the backside of you know, behind the scenes, and that would be a huge thing, right?
Yep. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I'm a pilot. All good. Cool. All right. Well, Jeremy, I thank you for coming on. I know we had a little bit of a challenge trying to get a time arranged here, you know, because obviously the big difference, but glad to have you on. It was a blast. I am happy, and I'm sure Ton, obviously, and Paul, you know, share the same sentiment that it's great to have you on. We've been talking about you from time to time. Every time we do a, you know, kind of what's going on our ham week, we're always like, why can't we freaking get Alaska? You know, and your call will come up in a positive light, you know, never in vain, of course, but
yeah.
You know, so we're looking forward to you.
I really appreciate you guys inviting me. It's been a blast. So I really appreciate it.
And, you know, and keep the YouTube going. It's really entertaining. I enjoy them a lot. Yep. So
well, I appreciate that.
Because when I first heard you, that's when I put you on hand. And then I researched, and I was like, oh, he's got a YouTube channel. And then I started watching that. And then I'm like, I'm definitely getting this guy. Like, this is like, even if I get a park, I'm still going to work until I get you. But I appreciate you coming on. I mean, this was one of the ones I was kind of looking forward to a lot, just to hear your adventures and stuff and what it's like up there. So very cool. And thank you.
We could probably talk for like another hour just about like ice fishing. And
I know we might start a second channel. Well, very cool. All right. Well, so kind of wrap things up again. Thank you guys for joining into our Live Free and Ham live stream tonight and being part of the Ham, you know, podcast community. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, you know, my question is what you've been doing? You know? That's my sentiment. You know, there should be no reason why you haven't subscribed to us. Come on. You know, we've got great content like Jeremy. So, you know, there are always several ways you can connect with our show. As we said, you know, you can head over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop and pick up some of our merch. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts or any of your podcast players and leave us a review and we'll make sure we read it on our next episode. And as always, you can support the show if you prefer to through Patreon or buy us beer links, and they're also all located in our show notes and the website. And if you want to reach any one of us, you can always you know, head over to livefreeandham.com. And as always, thanks again for listening, and from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3
guys.
7-3